Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we are continuing our look at the Advent candle today, and today is peace. It's the second candle. And I was thinking, how am I going to introduce this? So, having been a college professor for 33 years, can't you tell? If I asked you, what does peace mean, what would you say? That's not a rhetorical question. How would you define peace? You got a little kid to ask you.
Serenity.
Serenity.
Calm.
Say it again.
Rest.
Quiet. With all the military guys in here, that's absence of war. Okay. Not bad. I got on the dictionary. Here's what it says. Freedom from disturbance, quiet, and tranquility. A state or period in which there is no war or war has ended. Here is one that is going on with what you folks just defined. A ceremonial handshake or kiss exchanged during a service in some churches. Now usually only in the Eucharist, symbolizing Christian love and unity. I thought that was pretty good, especially coming from a secular source. Isaiah is so important for us. First of all, because of all the prophecy. But secondly, because of what is in there. Our Isaiah 40, you know, I have a doctorate in music, so music is important to me. But the Messiah starts with Isaiah 40. Comfort ye my people is the first recitative, and as every valley shall be exalted is the first aria. And it's how it starts. If you ever saw the musical Godspell back in the 60s, it starts with prepare ye the way of the Lord. Isaiah 40. You know, so when we talk about the coming of Jesus, Isaiah 40 is important. All right, let's look at verse 2. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned. That she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then they added the cry of Jehovah's herald, the voices are ever speaking to us from the infinite. Let us heed them. I like that. One of the people that I read a lot of, because I like his theology, of all things, is a Baptist pastor. His name is John Gill. He was in England, 1750. But his theology, you know, we look at American Baptists, it's completely different. It's actually more mainline Christian. But the thing is, I like what he has to say. Let me tell you about this. There is the voice of forgiveness from Isaiah 40, verse 2. He writes this, are you truly penitent? Have you put away your sin? Have you meekly accepted the chastening rod? And be of good cheer, for the promise is for you. Remember last week I preached on the fact that Christianity was called the promise. The time of hard service is a conscript, which is the literal rendering of the word in Hebrew that's in there, is accomplished. Your iniquity is pardoned. You have received double for all your sins. God speaks comfortably to your heart, that you may be able to comfort others as he does. You. Pretty nice words, aren't they? Remember, I have preached in here on the cross. And the cross has got two things. It's got the upper part and the sideway part. So whatever we receive from God comes down, okay? So we can receive it. But then the crosshairs means it comes out from us onto others. And John Gill talks about this right here. But as we look at this script, why the stress on crying to her? And cry unto her that her warfare is a completion. That's comfort ye my people from the Messiah. Well, who's her? You know, we see this stuff, but who is her? What is her? It's the city of Jerusalem. In the King James Version, it has it, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem's important. I mean, look how much is tied in with that, both in Christianity, Hebrew, and in Islam. It's the capital of the kingdom of David. Now, David lived around 1000 BC before Christ. No, I'm not going to say BCE before the Common Era. I'm not going to change that. But Isaiah lived in the 800s BC, 200 years later. At this time, the kingdom of Israel has split into two kingdoms, the kingdom of Judah in the south and Israel in the north. And it was in a state of constant war. The men of Judah were conscripted into the Jewish army, and many of them were killed. Remember, I read you the thing in John Garrell, that the actual word means a conscript, and that's where this is coming from. So why do we sing and cry to her? Why do we cry to Jerusalem? Well, let's look at what the word Jerusalem means. As I was looking at this, I found two translations for it. It's the awe of peace, or teaching of peace, neither of which are in that word. All right, so let's look at it. For example, if we want to look at the word teaching in Hebrew, it's Torah. First five books of the Bible are Torah. That's law or teaching. Okay. Well, I don't see that in Jerusalem, do you? The word Jeru, the first one, comes from the verb Veru. It's actually got a V in it. But it's Veru. It's almost got a J sound. And over the centuries, the J sound was added to it. Now, you got to remember that Jerusalem was there before David conquered it. It was a Canaanite city. Okay? And so that name had adjusted. But that word, Jeru, Veru, actually translates into Hebrew as to reign. So it's a reign of peace. A reign of peace. Just from that, I mean, it's a lot broader sound, isn't it? All right, so Salem, is peace. So the very heart of the Jewish nation, David's city, is the city of peace. And that's why it's so important to us. We have the absence of the war, we have tranquility, and all the definitions that you have right there in the city's name. But as Christians, does peace more mean just more than tranquility or an absence of war? No, I don't think so. But yet, when you look up the meaning, it's not there. So for us, there's more to it. It's like Paul Harvey, this is the rest of the story. With me? Okay, as pastors, we usually finish our sermons with a quote from Philippians 4. May the peace of the Lord, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4. Alright, so when we say that, may this peace of the Lord keep your hearts and minds, is that referring to an absence of war or tranquility? I don't think so. I think there's more to it than that. When Christianity started in the Roman Empire, the common people were drinking from springs. Okay? The elites, those kind of people, were drinking wine. Okay? And remember how Jesus says that I am the spring that brings eternal life. Drink from me. Okay? Because the elites, the princes, the leaders of the Roman Empire were clueless about Jesus. But as you read Philippians, it tells us we must be moderate in ambitions, gentle in behavior, and ever practice the presence of Christ in our lives because he is always with us. I really think we thank Jesus for the past and we count on him for the future. When we pray, the angel of peace descends to stand guard at the door of our heart. The angel of peace descends. Well, is that angel of peace the absence of war or tranquility, or what is it? I think it's more than that. Jesus is the God of peace. Remember, we've talked about in here too that Jesus not only is the God of peace, he's the God of love. And in the Islam religion, God is not love. So how can you have a God that is trustful, loving, and peaceful, and you take those out of the equation? You haven't got a God. But I think that love and peace that passes all human understanding is there because it's brought to us by Jesus Christ. I mean, he's the one that blesses us with it. But here's what Philippians said. There is a condition. Okay, folks, there's always a condition for what you get. But this is a condition for something good. And I love this condition. The condition is that we must earnestly practice all things that are true, just, pure, and lovely. What do you think? Is that a good condition? I do. This is the peace of Jesus Christ. This is what was represented by that kiss of peace of the early church. Many times, and I had somebody ask me about that, if I give you a hug, I kiss your head, both guys and girls. Why? It's the kiss of Christ. So folks, when we look at the peace that passes all understanding, where I've actually heard it said as peace that passes all human understanding, it's because it's coming to us from Jesus Christ, and because it is Jesus Christ. What a blessing that peace is. And may this peace of Jesus that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus.